You know, it's like, okay, this is my opportunity. And whether, you know, I mean, it's just a dude somewhere decided that this was going to be the new year and this is where it was going to start for us, right? And so it may be this man-made construct of time, but at the same time, it's an opportunity for us to say, okay, what am I going to do different this year? And lately, I've heard from a bunch of you who are asking questions, you know, and when I say I heard from a bunch of you, that sounds very nebulous, like everyone's calling in on the hotline. It's not like that. It's like I see things on Facebook and in our conversations, and sometimes people call too, but sort of all those things combined, I think there's a real searching in a way, or trying to figure out some things, asking some questions, looking for direction, asking questions like this, like where am I going, like in life, or what is God's will for me? Or how do I hear his voice? That's a question that I've gotten recently. And am I even on track? And if I am, how do I know? Like, is there some kind of a sign or a marker that will tell me if that's true? So I thought this would be a great time to start a series, to start something new, to address questions like this and talk about some of these things. So the next few weeks, I'm describing as a progressive dinner. Now, how many of you know what a progressive dinner is? Okay, for those of you that have not had the joy of experiencing a progressive dinner, let me describe it to you. Basically, you have all these friends, and instead of one person cooking a huge meal for everybody with all these courses, each person is responsible for a course. So you go to one friend's house, and you start with appetizers there. And then you all get in your cars, and you drive to your next friend's house for the main course. And then you all get in your cars, and you drive in, and so on, until you finish the whole meal. And so, like, if you've got seven courses, which is insane, right? I'm sure the oil industry probably invented this just so that people would drive their cars more. I don't really know, but the point is it's a lot of fun. And the next few weeks are going to be like that. It's going to be a progressive dinner. Like, it's really important that you're here today. But I think it's also important in the subsequent weeks that you're here too, because this all works together. It's going to build on each other. But at the same time, you know, if you've been to a progressive dinner or a potluck, you know that maybe the dessert rocked, but maybe the main course did not. Now, I'm not saying the sermons are going to be like. What I'm saying is that these will all stand on their own. That's the goal anyway. But hopefully they'll all work together to kind of push us in a direction to give us some guidance to figure out some of these things in our lives. But regardless of all that stuff, these messages, I believe, are going to set us on the right path for 2017. And I'm still getting used to saying that out loud. How many of you have like written 2016 a bunch so far? Yeah, me too. It's hard to get used to that. But yes, we are in 2017. But I am very excited for the next few weeks, because I'm sure it's going to be full of a lot of surprises and things that I think are going to speak to your heart. So I think it's going to be good, because who doesn't like surprises, right? Right? Anyone like surprises? I like surprises. All right. So I also told you last week as we were going through this whole thing. Whoa.
I'm going to let you pick. We're in the middle of something here. It's time for America's favorite game show, Family Feud. Could I have the Red family come on up and stand over here? Red family, come on down. And if I could have the Green family stand up and come on over here. Green family. All right. Trevor. Donnie, come on down. Let's get started here. For the first man. Ton, sorry. I completely flipped the I in the end. That is my fault. All right. So, today's round is going to be top 10 New Year's resolutions that people fail at. All right. Don't eat. You know what? Losing weight. Is losing weight on the board? It is. All right. You guys want to play the round or make the red team? Yeah. They're going to play it. All right, go ahead. Take a seat. Or stand. Whichever. All right, Lindsay. If there was something else that people normally fail at in a New Year's resolution, what would it be? exercising. All right, let's hear it. Is exercising on the board? No, it is not. Rusty. What else would be a failed New Year's resolution?
Saving money, staying on a budget.
Saving money. Is saving money on the board? It is. Chet. What else would you fail at in a New Year's resolution?
Quit smoking.
Quit smoking. Is quit smoking on the board? Number two. Erica. What else would be something you might fail at in a New Year's resolution?
Quit drinking.
Quit drinking. Is quit drinking on the board? Yay! So, what would be what else would be a failed resolution?
Going to church more.
Going to church more. Would that be a resolution you might fail? Oh, no. All right. Lindsay, you're down to your last strike. If you miss this, the red team's going to have a chance to answer and win the round. What would be another failed resolution, perhaps?
Family.
Spending more time with family. Eddie! All right, Rusty.
Come on,
Rusty.
Find a new job.
It's find a new job on there. Oh no. All right. Red family. What would be something else? That is just not staying on anymore. I just shaved. All right. So, what would be something else that would be a New Year's resolution that you might fail at?
Decluttering the house.
That is not on the board. So, Green Family, you get the round. Thank you, everyone, for playing Family Feud. Everyone can sit back down.
So, I'm glad to see we're not the only people that have problems with technology around here. So that was ridiculous. I get that. But here's the deal. There was a point to what I just shared. I'm going to share those with you, that list again, the list of New Year's resolutions. These are from Time Magazine. Top 10 commonly broken New Year's resolutions. To lose weight or get fit, to quit smoking, to learn something new, to eat healthier diet, to get out of debt, save money, spend more time with family, travel to new places, be less stressed. That's a New Year's resolution. To volunteer and to drink less. So I want you to notice something. Every one of those resolutions that you see up there involves change, right? Every one of those things is about changing something. The other day I was listening to the radio and there was a commercial on, and the first thing they say is, "New year, new rear," right? And it was this whole thing about like joining a fitness club, which is pretty ridiculous. Sometimes we see a thing in our lives or in the mirror that we want to change, right? And we're like, okay, I need to do something about that. And so we resolve to change it. But we all know that, right, by looking at this list, that change isn't easy, especially things like this. There's a reason they come up year after year and we don't accomplish them. It's because it's hard. In fact, most of us could probably look at this list and one of our former New Year's resolutions or something we vowed to do is probably on that list, which is interesting. Change is hard. But here's the deal. There are two categories that I want to point out that are represented. There's really just two categories of things in this list. people wanting to be free from something, like losing weight or quitting smoking, less drinking, less stress, getting out of debt. They want to be free from that, or wanting the freedom to do something, right? Things like traveling or volunteering or learning something new. Deep down inside, we all know that change leads to a better life. That better life begins with change. But most of the time, in reality, these changes don't work. They don't happen. We try. And some people do succeed, but the number of people that do is very small compared to those who do not. Most of the time, in reality, these changes don't last. You're probably familiar with this quote, "The more things change, the more they stay the same." So does that mean that we're like in this feedback loop, like this thing that we can't escape, this inevitable deal where we're just not going to be able to change anything, so maybe we should give up? Well, I would hope that you'd know that that's not the answer that I'm offering today. Today, I would say that changes like this, especially the ones that were on the list that we looked at earlier, they're noble things to do. Change is important, but really, things like that, in my opinion, are just a symptom of something else. So in Judges 6, we find the people of Israel, and they're in a situation where they want change. After 40 years of peace, they had turned away from God again and found themselves in bondage and oppression. And as hard as they were trying to establish roots and become a solvent people, to plant crops and all those things, to become a nation, all of their efforts were floundering. Have you ever felt that way, right? Like you were working so hard at something. You were doing your very best at it. You were hitting your head against a wall. Like you were just trying to do it, but everything just kept falling apart. Has anyone ever felt like that? Right. You've been to IKEA. You've tried to put something together, right? Yes. But sometimes the reason for that is just because of the world that we live in. So sometimes, let me try and explain that. Everything that's made, everything that's created, everything that's composed of matter right now is breaking down. Let's have a moment of silence for all the matter. Okay. No, seriously, though. Everything that's made of matter, just by its nature, from the moment it is, it's breaking down. Here's an uplifting quote for you. "From the moment we are born, we begin to die." Have a nice day. Happy New Year, everybody, right? Uplifting. You're like, wait a second, this isn't the direction I thought this was going to go. I mean, technically, it's after we reach peak maturity, when the death of the production of our cells, the death of the cells in our body actually starts to outweigh the production of new cells in our body. That's the actual scientific explanation for that particular quote, but I'm no scientist. That's not the point. Sometimes things are wrong in this world just because they are wrong in the world that we live in. Scripture says that it rains on the people that do good stuff and the people who do bad stuff just the same. It rains on everybody, right? So that happens. But I would suggest that there's also times in our lives that we hit a wall, we struggle, we have problems, we keep running into trouble. And the reason is because we're heading in the wrong direction. And that was actually the case with the Israelites that I mentioned earlier. They kept turning their backs on God. And there's actually this cycle. If you look at the book of Judges, it happens over and over and over again. And if you ever read through that, it's almost painful. Because you know how the story starts, you know how the story is going to end, and yet you have to kind of watch. It's almost like a slow motion car wreck that's happening in front of you. So the people would be suffering, and they would cry out to God, "Help us! Save us!" And of course, God being compassionate and loving, he would raise up and empower judges, people, to come and lead the Israelites and to help them. Judges 2:19 gives us sort of a capsule of what happens. "But whenever the judge died, they turned back and were more corrupt than their fathers, going after other gods, serving them, and bowing down to them. They did not drop any of their practices or their stubborn ways." Judges 2 continues to tell us that God finally just decides to remove his hand of protection because the people kept breaking the covenant that they had with him. In verse 22, it's almost like God saying, "Okay, all right, listen, I see how this is going to go. Let this be a test. I'm going to just sit back here and watch you let you do what you do. You can live the way you want to live. You can abandon the way that your forefathers lived, which was for me. And let's just see how this all plays out. And of course, we know that it didn't play out good, right? This meant that the surrounding nations that God had once been keeping at bay and driving out, he just lifted his hands and let them do what they were going to do. And that was a bad situation because for 7 years, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the other Bedouin tribes in the area had been harassing the people of Israel. Let me just give you a picture of what that looked like, okay? They would go through and they would trash their camps. Any place that they had a settlement, they would come through, they would tear down their tents. They would steal and destroy their crops and their animals. They would also bring their own livestock through to graze and eat everything so that there was nothing left for their herds. And of course, we know from the history of this region and kind of how people work that there were probably lots of other terrible things that were the common practices for when raids like this would happen. And it reached this point where the Israelites had been driven to the hills. They no longer had a place to settle. They were in the hills. They were hiding in caves because it was the only safe and defensible place that they had to live. And it's only then they begin to cry, Lord, help us, save us. Can you see what's happening? And of course, he could. I think that's a lot like us too, right? Sometimes it takes this really hard thing in life, a point we reach where we finally remember that we can't do this on our own or that we can't do this apart from God. And all of a sudden, oh, God, please help me. We finally remember where our help comes from. So the people keep being attacked, and they discover through an unidentified prophet, it just says a prophet told them, which is interesting to me. They discover that they're suffering because they're not living for and worshiping the one true God. And I read that, and I read that in amazement, because it just seems to me, it's like, don't you guys, wouldn't you have gotten it already? But, you know, we can be like that too because we have all these stories right in front of us, all these examples, and yet we still make those same choices. So here's the key verse we're going to look at, Judges 6, 8 through 10. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Seems pretty clear, right? The irony here is that God just freed them from bondage and from slavery. He was with them in the desert with Moses. He was with them as they moved into the promised land with Joshua. And then suddenly, after 40 years of peace, which means no trouble in the land, they were free people, yet they were living in bondage of their own making. Rescued from slavery to put themselves in bondage. They chose to live in bondage rather than following God until things got too hard, until they suddenly realized, going to do? Judges 2:10 says that Israel knew neither the person of God nor the power of God. Some, like what, 250 or so years from the Exodus, suddenly, I mean, seems sudden to me. Of course, I'm seeing it in sentences on a page. That's 250 years, but at the same time, it's like, they've been told these stories. They knew of God's providence. They'd seen and heard over and over and over again all these things that he'd done, kind of just like us. 40 years of peace and relative comfort for this nation to veer off course and forget their purpose. And I think that's what it boils down to. They'd forgotten their purpose. God had chosen them. He'd set them apart. He said, okay, you guys, you're mine, right? You're my people. You belong to me. You're my treasure possession. Your job is to simply follow me in obedience and reveal me to everybody so that I can bless them all. It was all supposed to happen through the way that they lived for him. They've forgotten their purpose. And unfortunately, the book of Judges, like I said, repeats this over and over with the cycle of bondage, some freedom, the cycle of bondage, some freedom. If this were a movie, it would not play well in America because we like happy endings. And this book does not have a happy ending. The last verse of Judges, Judges 21, 25 says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." The end. In other words, everyone did whatever they wanted to. It was anarchy, and things continued to get worse because the people had abandoned God. It's funny because it's the same story over and over and over, and yet we still expect it to have a different ending, right? They'd lost their way because they lost their purpose. And outside of that purpose, all they found was misery. So what about you today? Did you know that God's chosen you? Do you know where you're headed? Are you living your life with the sole purpose of doing what's right in your own eyes? Or are you living in bondages of your own making? In the coming weeks, we're going to be talking about a lot of these things, knowing God's will and his plan for our lives, overcoming obstacles, stepping out boldly into the things that he has for us, and being empowered to make changes that will alter history, folks. I mean, I know we only see like this little bit, but think about it this way. Think about Billy Graham, right? At some point, because one person shared the word of God with him, eternity was changed for a whole lot of people. And so on and so on and so on. You're like, well, I'm no Billy Graham. How do you know? How do you know? You think he knew? I think he was a shoe salesman at the time. Nothing wrong with shoe salesmen, I'm just saying. I don't even think shoe salesmen exist still, do they? No? I don't know. But you know what? All those people's lives that he impacted, that's going to last forever. Being empowered to make changes in our lives, folks, that will alter history. But it all begins here, right now. This moment matters. Early in the new year, everyone's looking for some sort of change. I want to change this, I want to change that, I want to get this right. But maybe instead of looking for change, maybe we should be looking for this, a new purpose or a renewed purpose. We just celebrated this season of God with us, right? Emmanuel, God with us, meaning that he is among us. He came to live among us. He came to dwell out of his compassion, out of his love, out of his mercy. Where heaven intersected with earth, which is pretty cool to think about. God sent his only son because we needed a savior. All of us. Every single one of us. Everyone that's walked this planet ever has needed a savior. Needed him. And Jesus is the only way to lead us into this lasting heart change. This purpose that's needed. Ephesians 17. Therefore, I say this, indeed, in union with the Lord, I insist on it. Do not live any longer as the pagans live, with their sterile ways of thinking. Their intelligence has been shrouded in darkness, and they are estranged from the life of God because of the ignorance in them, which in turn comes from resisting God's will. In other words, living for ourselves leads to stumbling around and only finding dead ends. Think about that, bless you. Think about that phrase there, estranged from the life of God. Do you know what that means? It means apart from God. And if you follow that to its logical conclusion, if God is love and you're estranged from God, then you're estranged from that relationship of love. So it's no wonder that they're behaving like this. It continues. Verse 19. They have lost all feeling, so they've abandoned themselves to sensuality, practicing any kind of impurity, and always greedy for more. Again, they're estranged from the real love of God, but since they cannot find that, they don't have it, they throw themselves into counterfeit versions. Pleasure seeking, they're never satisfied. And anyone who's lived that life, you know that that's the truth. We always want more. We're never satisfied. Verse 20. But this is not the lesson you learned from the Messiah. I like how it says that. It's like, but this isn't the lesson that Jesus taught you. If you really listened to him and were instructed about him, then you learned that since what is in Yeshua is truth, then so far as your former way of life is concerned, you must strip off your old nature, because your old nature is thoroughly rotted by its deceptive desires. You have to say it like that. It's thoroughly rotted by its deceptive desires. And you must let your spirits and your minds keep being renewed. And I like how it says that, because it's not a one-time thing. It's a process. It's a journey. And clothe yourselves with the new nature created to be godly, which expresses itself in the righteousness and holiness that flow from the truth. This isn't the lesson that Jesus taught you. He's the real deal. He's the truth. That's what he came to tell you. So now that you know that truth, there's no room for compromise, right? Following Jesus is not a part-time gig. It's not a whenever it suits you thing. Dabbling in discipleship isn't going to cut it. And it's not just for pastors, elders, and old people either. Oh, I love you guys. Now, the truth is, we're all made to worship God. And the reason we fumble around in the dark, the reason we're dissatisfied, is because we're not in that purpose. When we get outside of that purpose, it's just like, okay, what am I doing? Well, I'm going to try this. I'll try this. Oh, hey, look, I'll try this. Oh, that's not it. It's because the purpose is over here. We're all made to worship God. And with him, it's all or nothing. It saturates every part of our lives. And it requires us to abandon the old life of self-worship, because that's what that is. Seeking pleasure is simply worshiping yourself. Now listen, hear this. I'm not saying that God doesn't want us to have fun, because he does. Every creation that you see, everything that in you that inspires you, every bit of beauty that has been made was made by him for you. But he calls us to abandon that crusty, nasty old self and to clothe ourselves in him and his truth. And the real change comes when we renew our way of thinking. Paul says it like this. He says, transformed by the renewing of our minds. Again, it's a process. When we surrender our will and follow in obedience right with God, we become a part of his plan and a part of his work. And that's exciting, because he becomes our purpose. I mean, look through scripture, look through the New Testament. Some crazy stuff went down, man. Doesn't that sound exciting? I mean, at least a little bit. Jesus was even more hardcore about it. And this is just one of like 100 examples. Then Yeshua, which is Jesus, told his Talmudim, his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, let him say no to himself, take up his execution stake, your version might say cross, and keep following me. For whoever wants to save his own life will destroy it, but whoever destroys his life for my sake will find it. What? It's like, listen, I came to save. Get on board. you want real change, lasting change this year, it has to start with Jesus. He's the only place that you and I are going to find true fulfillment. Maybe you're here today and you believe in him. You've believed in him for a long time. But you haven't been clothing yourself the way that you should. Maybe you've not been chasing after him. Maybe you've been struggling with your walk. Listen, like God's people in our story, we can get off track sometimes. It happens. But you know what? Today is your day to stand up, dust yourself off, turn around, and start the year with purpose. It can begin today. He's a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, 12th, 29th chances. Otherwise, I would not be in front of you right now. Maybe you're here, and you're not sure if you're a believer. Maybe a lot of the stuff I've been talking about, you kind of get some of it, but you're like, I don't know about some of those other things. Maybe you're not sure if you've ever really said yes to Jesus or made a choice to follow him or designated him as the purpose of your life. Well, I've got good news for you too. That can change right now as well. Jesus loves you. If you can hear me saying that, then I'm talking to you. Jesus loves you. He gave up everything for you. He gave up everything to have you. You could come to know the Father today and live a life of purpose as his disciple. You can leave here today with a full purpose for the new year. So as we wrap this up today, I'm going to ask some of the leaders of DC, some men and women, if you would, I'd just like to have a few people around the room here. We don't do this as often, but I think it's something we need to do today. And so we're going to give you an opportunity, no matter where you're at on that whole thing that I just talked about, because I know that God's speaking to some of us today. It may be weird, but you want to know how I know? Because this was really hard to get done. And it's not because I was procrastinating. It's a weird thing in this whole life, but sometimes when you feel like you're struggling through mud, but you know that you're headed in the right direction, it's the enemy coming against you. It's like God's going to do something. And there's a real enemy that wants to prevent that from happening. So, I know God's speaking to some of you, and you want to make a change. You want to start this new year off right. You want to declare this moment with purpose. And maybe you don't fit those two categories, but perhaps you're just in bondage to something that you want to be free of. That can happen today too. God can help you with that. If you've not given your life fully to Jesus, today's your day. Every person you see up here, every person has been where you're at right now. I can say that with confidence. Lasting change is only possible when we find our purpose in God. Here's the cool thing. The Lord never asks or requires anything of us that we cannot do. You were made for this. You were made to worship him. You were made to follow him, to serve him. And you can do this, especially with the power of his Spirit. Revolutionary, revolutionary, revolutionary.